We all love mob movies, Scarface, The Godfather, the list goes on and on. But there's one movie that speaks to me more than all the others, Donnie Brasco. It starred Johnny Depp as an FBI agent who went deep undercover in the New York Mafia. And unlike Scarface or The Godfather, it's actually based on a true story. And you know what they say, truth is stranger than fiction. I'm Leo Rossi. I've spent my life behind and in front of the camera creating stories about the mob. We're going to go off the page and talk to the real-life Donnie Brasco.
This is Deep Cover, The Real Donnie Brasco, with Joe Pistone and Leo Rossi.
Welcome, everybody. In this episode, we, Joe Pistone, a.k.a. Donnie Brasco, and I, Leo Rossi, we are going to tackle show business stories. Yes, and we both have much to contribute. Primarily Joe. We're going to start out with the Donnie Brasco movie, which I know most of you've seen. And if you haven't, you better. And or you'll get whacked. And then we're going to have other things that Joe and I produce together, TV series, movies, and some of the behind the scenes of what really goes on in Hollywood. Yeah. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Okay, Leo, how are you? Listen, I don't want the listeners to think we're done with undercover stories because we got plenty of those to come. But we're just going to take a little sidetrack here.
Yes, it was, it was told to us. Listeners are very interested also in the show business end. So believe me, undercover is still our focus. Okay, now, Joe, if I had the movie of my life, Johnny Depp ain't a bad choice, bro.
I must say Johnny Depp was a great choice. Of course, he has a little more hair than I have, but he did a hell of a job. Let me tell you, I was very pleased when his name came up and they sent him the script.
Well, it's in movie making. John Huston said, it's casting, casting, and casting. Yeah, you got to have the script. You got to have the director and all, but you got to have the right actors in the right roles. And I can't visualize anybody but him. But we'll also get into that. In movies, the director is God. They call him the auteur, whatever. He's the man. And Mike Newell was your director. He's an English fella, yes?
Yes, Mike. Mike's an English gentleman, and directed mostly movies. Never directed a mob movie. Let me say that. Never directed a mob movie.
So I guess the people, in decision making, thought it would be get somebody that didn't really know the world and try to edumacate him. Yeah.
Well, in the beginning, Barry Levinson was going to direct it, but then something came up. You know how it works, Leo. You need a window. You got a window to do the movie, and if you get a director, they have so many projects. So the window closed for Barry. We went to Stephen Frears, another English director, great director, and the same thing happened. The same thing happened with Steven because we didn't have the cast in place. So the window closed on him, and Mike Newell's name popped up, and he had the time period. And so they went with Mike, and I will say he did a great job. He educated himself on the mafia, both with sitting down and having conversations with me and sitting down and having conversations with actual gangsters. He threw himself into the whole project.
That to me is a director who has the right to call himself an auteur, because he did his homework and he went out Now, I will tell you, 109 movies that I've done, directors can be bullies. They can be control freaks. Just the nature of the beast. They're under a lot of pressure. How was the set with Newell?
Well, overall, it was pretty good. But there were some days when we had a little flare ups.
Tell me.
One. I'll tell you one. One was I don't know if you in the movie. There's a scene where I slapped my wife. Well, that never happened. I mean, that didn't happen in real life, and it wasn't supposed to happen in a movie. That scene was put in, you know, after. And I didn't know about it.
Wow.
So I get to the set that day, and I see this rehearsal, and I, whoa, what the hell is this? So, I start a little commotion, had a few words, you know.
Joe, you don't start little commotions. Go ahead.
Had some words with the director. But as you know, Leo, the director, he's the captain of the ship. And you can't, you know, what he says on that set goes. I mean, I lost that battle, but at least he knew where I stood. But there was another incident. It wasn't with me, actually. I'll tell you what, you ask about Johnny Depp.
Yep.
I love him. I mean, all my experience, I spent months with Johnny before we shot the movie. I spent, you know, every day on the set with him. I even, after he shot Donnie Brasco, he shot another movie. I spent time with him in California while he was shooting that movie. So I think I know him pretty well, and he's a decent guy. And on the set, you know, he didn't place himself above anybody. He didn't place himself up above any of the extras, any of the crew. It was a scene in took place in the casino. We had a casino night at the club, and we shot this scene in Florida. And you know how hot it gets in Florida. And what happened was that they didn't want to. Whenever there was a break, they didn't want the extras to leave the casino because they didn't want to reset the whole scene again. And it was hot as hell. They weren't given the extras water because, you know, I mean, Leo, you've been on the movie set. They didn't want to have the water bottles and then waste time cleaning them up, whatever. So somebody mentioned it to Depp. And I mean, he really got annoyed. And he went to the assistant director, and he went to Mike, and he said, if I leave this casino, if I leave this set and I can go to my trailer and get some, you know, get get water or whatever, he said, the extras have to be able to leave. He said, you can't keep them in here with this heat without giving them water. And he said, if it doesn't happen, then I don't come back to the set until it does happen.
I bet you it happened.
You damn right it happened.
Well, you see that, Joe, that is gratifying to me to hear that, because most actors, and some of it's well-deserved, get bad raps as ego freaks and only care about themselves. That's a beautiful story about Johnny Depp.
No, I never saw him mistreat anybody on Donnie Brasco or on the other movie that I worked with him on, which was called The Brave. We shot it up in a desert in California. I never saw him mistreat anybody, extras, cast, or crew. He was always a gentleman to everybody.
And you mentioned in one of the past episodes that he went nose to nose with Newell on something else in the location on the Motion Lounge.
That was another incident. Scene was taking place in the Motion Lounge, and one of the actors kept missing his line, and Newell ripped into him, and Johnny stepped right up and said, "You wouldn't talk like that to me, and I mess up my lines, so you shouldn't be talking like that to, you know, to other actors." He said, "Because I mess up lines too, and you don't get on me. Nobody gets on me." Yeah, yeah.
That is what a mensch. Yeah, he's a mensch, and it should be done more, because he's right. The director will never yell at the star, because what's he going to do? He's married to the star, yeah, and the movie's success, but he will pick on somebody.
All that being said, you know, Mike did a hell of a job directing that movie. I mean, he made it into a, you know, it's a cult movie. I mean, that movie still plays, can't tell you how many times a week. He did his job. He did his homework. I can't say anything about that.
Johnny also, not only did he stick up, but he liked to keep the set loose. Because, you know, they're long days, many hours, and tensions. What was his modus operandi to keep the set loose?
He had a fart machine. And, you know, he'd carry that fart machine around, and he'd come down and, you know, sit down in the mess hall there, you know, sit down and... Well, a fart machine. What can I say?
No, that's enough. That's enough. Does Johnny have any Italian in him?
You know, one time I said, "Johnny, what are you?" He said, "I'm a mutt." He said, I'm Cherokee, and the rest is mutt. But he's part Indian. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, my experience with Johnny Depp, I only worked once with him in one scene. I was a guest star of Jump Street, the series.
Oh, my God.
And so I go up to Vancouver, and I'm playing the, you know, detectives, internal affairs. And he were a group of young guys and girls who were undercover.
Right.
And so I was to be at a set. They brought me to the set, which was on location, and it was a payphone. And I go there, and there's the payphone, and the rest of the crew, cast and crew, hadn't come. And I'm sitting there with the location manager, and I said, "What is all this yellow tape around? He's supposed to be undercover. I'm supposed to be, you know, not known to, and we got all this tape around that is this the wrong scene?" He said, no. "We'll be shooting this scene after school lets out. And that tape is to keep all the kids away because they idolize him."
Away from Johnny.
You're away from Johnny. Yeah. So back then, I knew the legend of Johnny Depp. Yeah. Now, another thing that word got back to me. Nah, I'm not going to say word got back to me, because I saw you do it, too, when we do movies. That you do some cooking. Is that correct?
Yeah, I like to cook. Sure, I like to cook, Leo.
And you like to cook
I've cooked for you.
Yes. Yes, and
I've cooked for you on a set.
Yes, and you are dead serious about your sauce or gravy, whatever anybody calls it. You take that very, very seriously. All right, now we're on a roll with the Donnie Brasco movie. Who, and we had mentioned it before, was cast to play you originally when Barry Levinson, who ended up couldn't direct it. Barry's directed Rain Man, The Natural, Bugsy, everything. You can see why he's busy.
Terrific, terrific director.
Yes. Now, what did he tell Al? Because Al didn't end up playing you.
Well, Al originally was looking to play Donnie. Barry actually thought that Al would make a great lefty, and which ultimately he did. I mean, he should have won the Academy Award for that role.
It was terrific.
But other actors that were in the mix, it was Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, Tom Cruise,
Tom Cruise? Oh,
yeah.
Pretty big star.
I mean, you know, they had a lot of A-list actors. John Travolta.
There you go.
But a lot of, some of them wanted, you know, wanted some changes in the script. And Barry Levinson, you know, he said, I'm not changing the script. It, you know, this is it. And that's it. So after, you know, and it took like 2 years, you know, to before to get the whole cast together. So Al finally decided that he was going to, he wanted to do Lefty. He loved the role. He loved the piece. And Johnny Depp's name was thrown around, but we thought he, you know, we thought he was really too young and too good looking. So, but Al said, you know, he said, you ought to send this script to Johnny Depp. He said, because I think he's a great actor and I think he could do it. So they did. They sent the script to Johnny. He read it and he said, I'm in. And, you know, the rest is history. I mean, it was the chemistry on that set between him and Al was unreal, right? I mean, you being a movie guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. A movie guy. Yeah. It was, they were jumping into each other's minds and it was a thing of beauty to watch. And you're right. Al should have won the Oscar for that. I don't know who won that year, but he was great. So you and Johnny spent 2 months together before the filming?
Yeah, before the filming. Yeah, yeah.
Did you catch him staring at you, watching you doing things or something?
Yeah, he did. And it's amazing because he captured my voice. He captured the way I walk. In fact, one day on the set, my mom was on the set. She was alive that time, God bless her soul. She sees Johnny walking, but she thought it was me because all she saw was his back, and she thought it was me, and it was actually Johnny.
Wow.
You know, because I got a little bit of a limp in my gait, you know. So, but
a little hiccup. Yeah.
But he had everything down, man. I mean, it's amazing how he. He picked up on, you know, a little bit of a cough here. How, you know, I mean, I can't say enough about him. I mean, he's a master.
He's a great actor. And to do that, it takes a certain aptitude because, as you said, when you went deep cover, you kept your own personality. He could not do that. He had to hop into your personality.
Exactly.
And it was just terrific. And would he talk to you during the shoot? I mean, right, like before a scene?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he always wanted to know, you know, would you do this? You know, whatever in the script, you know. And I'd say, well, I probably would say this, you know, say it this way. And he bought it. I mean, you know, he did. He did. Like I say, I spent every day with him, and that was his, you know, what he wanted, you know.
I always admired the guy.
Yeah, I mean, he used to pick, you know, him and his driver would pick me up at my hotel, you know, in the morning. I mean, what A-list actor cares about, you know? I mean, I'm sure some of them do, but and here's the thing: we'd be driving to the set. And he'd want a cup of coffee. Well, who do you think went in and got the coffee? He did.
No.
He did. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you got a certain way. Sonny used to get you coffee and roll.
That's exactly,
you know, and Johnny Depp gets you. Oh.
But I mean, you know.
You must be doing something right.
I mean, what would they have? They'd have the Teamster, right? I mean, because, you know, I mean. And he'd go in and buy the coffees.
Deep Cover will be right back after this short message. And we're back with Deep Cover.
Now, let's get to what part of the movie, percentage-wise, was accurate? First, let's say was accurate with the book. and then we'll say the movie.
Well, the book was 100%. I mean, the book is 100% accurate. I say the movie was probably 85% on the money. And I mean, Leo, you've been in the business a long time. You know, they're lucky if, when they do a true story, they're, you know, Hollywood's lucky if they get your name right, you know, if they spell your name right on the credits, if you got credits. The things that weren't right in the movie, of course, was I never slapped my wife. I mean, I never did that.
Yeah.
I never had $300,000 in a bag. You know, that's a question I get. Where's that 300? You know, hey, Donnie, what'd you do with the 300, Donnie? I never had 300. And my wife and I, we never went to a psychiatrist. We never had those sessions because I wasn't home long enough to go to a psychiatrist. I didn't cut off that guy's leg with a hacksaw, you know, when they whacked the three capos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, cut him up with a chainsaw. I didn't cut him up with a hacksaw.
Okay, but you didn't cut him up at all.
No.
Right?
No.
Well, you just said you didn't cut him up.
Well, they did it. You know, I mean, in the movie, you see him chop with a hacksaw. Yeah. When they did cut him, they used a chainsaw.
Okay.
I mean, I can't even cut a piece of steak. Let alone a body.
All right. Now, dramatic license. Johnny's got a voiceover. I think it's toward the end of the movie where he says, all my life, and he's portraying you, all my life I've tried to be the good guy, the guy with the white fucking hat. And for what? For nothing. I'm not becoming like them. I am them. I know you're 22 years. This don't sound like your philosophy.
It wasn't. That was dramatic license. And when I questioned that, they said, look, we got to make, you're the hero. And I mean, you know, we got to make you likable to the audience. And that's one way that they made me likable to the audience by that scene.
Yeah. You know, it's, they're looking at it, you know, not so much that from the truth factor. Oh, they want to get that. And if you're telling me 85% of what I saw on the screen was true, you're way ahead of the normal Hollywood movies.
Oh, yeah. You know
about
that.
You know, biopics or whatever you want to call right. them. You know, they, yeah. I mean, the way you put it, if they get the name right, that's that's a big thing. So now when on a movie set, people, what you understand is there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of moving parts. And the director, you know, gets a lot of questions asked to him. But in this movie, you were the authenticity guy. You were the person that lived it. So you talked with, the costumers, the cameramen, everything. It was never stopped, right?
Never stopped. Well, and you know, when you pre-production, you have pre-production meetings. So I met with the department heads, all the department heads, sat down with them, sat down with the set designer as far as what the interior of the motion lounge looked like, what the interior of King's Court looked like, so they can, you know, so when they built the set, they can get it pretty much on the money. Spent a lot of time with the prop guys regarding weaponry. Became good friends with the stunt coordinators. Yeah, I spent good time with everybody, and since I was on the set every day, you know, I had an interaction with each one of them.
That is not common.
And also the actors. I mean, I spent time with the actors prior to and discussed each character with them, you know, that they portrayed in the movie, because each character was a real person in real life. So I went over each of their characters with them.
Oh, man. Actors, that's a blessing that, and beside that, having been on the set with Joe, I didn't work in Donnie Brasco. I would have liked to, but I didn't know you then. And beside that, Michael Madsen's a wonderful actor, because that's the part I would have done. But on the set, it's
James Russo. What about Jimmy Russo?
Jimmy Russo.
Great actor.
There you go. Bruno Kirby, yeah. God rest his soul. You know,
Kirby, yeah. Anne Heche, who played my wife.
Yeah, it sometimes in the movie making, it just all goes together. It's not luck. No, luck is the residue of design, and this was everybody on the same page from the top to the bottom, and then great things can happen, and it did in Donnie Brasco the movie. You know.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Deep Cover, The Real Donnie Brasco. Tune in again next week. And what else, Leo?
Make sure you subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From Jam Street Media.